Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shops, the Spectator's daily political podcast. A host of proposed new laws designed to prepare the UK for a smooth and orderly departure from the EU have been announced today in the Queen's speech. I'm Lara Prendergast and I'm now joined by James Forsyth and Katie Balls. So James, how true to the original Tory manifesto was it?
Not very, is the answer. I think if you stripped out the Brexit legislation, which is a big if, there's not very much in this Queen's speech. I was thinking back to when the Tory manifesto was launched, and Theresa May was brushing away questions about whether this was a Mayist document. This is not a Mayist Queen's speech. This is a Queen's speech that has a bunch of Brexit legislation in it, and then, frankly, a bunch of fairly uncontentious other stuff. It is quite thin for a two-year session of Parliament, which this is. Now, look, Parliament is going to be kept busy because of all the Brexit stuff, but there isn't a domestic agenda here. There aren't grammar schools in this Queen's speech. The energy price cap seems to have gone into abeyance. You know, this is workers on boards, all those kind of things that Theresa May has been so personally identified with. They were not the centrepiece of his Queen's speech.
So, Katie, what actually was in it then?
Yeah, I think, well, yesterday we got trailed some of the things that would be in it before the big reveal. And normally there'd be, you know, quite enticing legislation or the most newsworthy. And I think one of them was about cracking down on nuisance whiplash compensation claims. And another was banning letting fees, but that was announced in the autumn statement last year. So again, it was hardly a new policy. I think in terms of domestic issues, there's just not much there. Obviously, the Conservatives think they can go on things like anti-terrorism measures and, you know, keeping the union together. But in a way, although Brexit is a problem for the Conservative Party and how they find one that everyone agrees on, they're quite lucky they have Brexit, because without Brexit there would have been really nothing to put in this Queen's speech.
But earlier today on Coffee House, James Kirkup suggested that while the Queen's speech was diluted, Theresa May's strategy hasn't actually changed and she's still trying to go for non-Tory voters. Do you think that's fair?
I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there about making kind of markets work a bit better for people. Katie cited the example of kind of car insurance. There's stuff about people who take out loans to buy their cars. But these aren't big iconic measures. You know, the Tory manifesto, all that stuff about, you know, how they reject untrammeled free markets and the cult of selfish individualism, that was meant to have big kind of headline, kind of Tory clause 4 stuff to say, we're not the old Tory party. This Queen's speech doesn't have that.
And the other thing that seems to be in doubt is Trump's visit. Is that not going to happen any longer?
Normally the Queen lists the state visits coming up. The fact it hasn't been listed, I think, is quite telling. Now, Downing Street is saying, oh, it's just because we haven't set a date. I think it's because this visit is being downgraded. I think there is a feeling on both sides of the Atlantic that a state visit isn't quite right now. On the Trump side, I think it's because he doesn't like the idea of massive protests that would create kind of bad news headlines for him back home. And I think on the British side, there is a sense that maybe they rushed in with this invitation a little bit too quickly.
And they did mention one state visit. They mentioned the Spanish royal family. So it's not like, you know, there was a place where they could have done it if they actually thought it was going to happen.
And what's happening with the DUP?
Well, the talks are ongoing. I mean, I think that someone in Number 10 said to me towards the end of last week that, you know, if you sent the DUP in to do the Brexit negotiations, they'd come back with a large chunk of Europe for us. And I think you are seeing this. They are very canny negotiators. And they also have their own political imperative, which is they want to show that they are, that their tail is wagging the Tory dog. So they're asking, according to kind of well-sourced reports that are coming out of Northern Ireland, for an extra £2 billion, £1 billion for the NHS and £1 billion for infrastructure. What worries a lot of Tory cabinet ministers and Tory MPs is the optics of using kind of pumping public money to Northern Ireland, which already gets more money than any other bit of the UK per head, to stay in power. They worry about how toxic that could be electorally.
And it was the first time that we'd seen Theresa May and Jeremy Corbyn at the dispatch box. How did that go?
I think you saw the effect the election has had on both of them. I mean, Jeremy Corbyn has not turned into a sparkling wit or a brilliant Commons performer, but he just appears much more confident, and his own benches are now behind him. It was quite telling. There were far fewer ironic Tory jeers of him. Yeah, they aren't quite sure what to make of this. Theresa May tried to be very serious. But again, the Labour benches heckled her much more aggressively than they had done in the past. And you can tell that she doesn't feel as confident as she felt when she gave that first PMQs and she turned in a much better performance than people expected. She is clearly now a very kind of the kindest adjective you can describe her, give to her speech was workmanlike.
Just finally, it's also been the so-called Day of Rage today. Has that affected things in Westminster?
Well, Jeremy Corbyn seemed a bit ragey when he gave his response in the Commons, but I don't think that's technically Day of Rage. There are a few protests going around. I don't think it's particularly influenced the day's events. I saw John McDonnell has said the Day of Rage should be calm after calling for 1 million protesters to take to the street to, you know, take May from office.
I just walked past the Day of Rage on the way over here, and it is not a particularly large protest, you know, and this is not...
They're just out enjoying the sun.
They seem a bit subdued by the heat, but I don't think this is nothing like the kind of student fees protest or anything like that, you know. This is a fairly small, more affair.
Yeah, when I walked past it, I wasn't even filling Parliament Square. So.
Oh, no, but, you know, I when I left Parliament to walk over here, I thought, oh, crikey, how long is it going to take to walk over? And then actually the police have got them in just kind of one little bit of Parliament Square, and the rest of it is absolutely fine.
Thank you, James, and thank you, Katie.